Just one slide today, and one focus, which is on the journey of Advent. Advent is the time which we call waiting for the coming one, waiting for Jesus who has been born but also is returning. And the Bible describes many, many journeys. In fact, the idea of journeying is a metaphor. It's a picture with a meaning of life itself. And journeys being taken in the company of God, journeys being taken under God's direction. And we've been hearing about that this morning. We've been hearing about journeys which are taken in the company of God, but also where human beings go on their own journey and do their own thing. And even at the genesis of humanity, at the very beginning of the world, whenever that was, the relationship between human beings and God is described as walking together in the cool of the evening. It's a wonderful picture of relationship. And those of you that like walking, it's in your very soul because God put it there. In our play today, we've heard of God's call to various people to come out of a known situation of comfort and to journey with him. The first one was Abraham and Sarai. And that's a good example of this. Abraham had left Ur in Babylonia some years before with his father, who was a real terror and a very old man. You can laugh at that one. And they were meant to go to the land of Canaan. But in fact, they'd gone up a dead end and they got stuck in Haran. And so God had to go and call Abraham out and to remind him that they were meant to be going to Canaan. We've also seen the Magi. It's a later tradition that says they were kings, and the script was wonderful because it was just so biblical. A later tradition from the Psalms, but the Magi, who were wise men, were called out by a star, obviously some time before the birth of Jesus, and they travelled somewhere in the east, Persia or Babylon or even Arabia, and they arrived sometime after the birth because the couple and the baby Jesus had already moved into the house. And theirs too was a journey of God's drawing, and it includes a warning not to travel back via Herod's palace in Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary were required by circumstances and the rule of Roman law to go on a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register at a census. They were required by law to go to Bethlehem, the town of Joseph's family origins. Hundreds of years before, as we heard, the prophet Micah had foretold that the Messiah would be born in the tiny town, in the tiny tribal land of Judea, in Bethlehem. This shows that yet again, God can do wonders with small things. The journey was between 70 and 80 miles long, and must in the last stages of pregnancy have been grueling as they moved across unmade roads. Hopefully they had a donkey. I hope that they had a donkey. We don't know, but if not, it would have been even worse. No doubt there were robbers. Please sit still. It's driving me crazy. Please sit still, darling. No doubt there were robbers and bandits to be avoided, as well as they had to avoid Herod's attempts to destroy every boy child under two in Bethlehem. But perhaps the greatest danger was the dangers of pregnancy and birth. And we need to remember that today. In the country of Kenya alone, 40 women will die in childbirth today. So great dangers that God the Son subjected himself to. The shelter available was not in any guest room, the catalumata of the family of Joseph. That would have been nice, but their guest room was full. And so they were placed with the attached animal quarters, and the swaddling bands and the straw of the manger were the protection that this child knew. This was a tough journey. and we're thinking about journeys that Mary and Joseph began, but it was only a beginning. And that's the trouble. So many people begin the journey with God, but get diverted. First, they go to Bethlehem, and then fleeing as immigrants into the safety of Egypt, and then finally returning home, as many immigrants do, to Nazareth, when the despot Herod was dead. And that's why many people leave their lands, because of despots and tyrants. This journey prefigured, it showed before, an even tougher journey that Jesus would ultimately have to walk in the Father's company, and then even on his own. And in that line drawing journey, we saw where that journey led him. I quote, "A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter," which just goes to show I can remember the poems I learnt from my GCSE a long time ago. T.S. Eliot stole these lines and didn't attribute them, but they came from the Christmas sermon of Bishop Lancelot Andrews at 1622, when he wrote about the journey of the Magi. Now, of course, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will be very quick to tell you, we know that it wasn't in the dead of winter, and certainly not on December the 25th, that Jesus was born, because Luke tells us that the shepherds were living in the fields still, and they wouldn't have been if it was in the darkest part of winter. It would have been too cold. The sheep would have been brought in. So we know clearly that it was probably either in the autumn or the spring, but we really don't know. We'll mention in a moment why the church picked that day. And in some ways, any day is as good as any other. Luke tells us the shepherds were living in the fields. We don't know the exact date, as I've said, but we know that the journey happened the way the Gospels describe. Why did the church opt for the date? Just a little aside. Well, the date is around the darkest time of the winter solstice, when the experience of the sun turning begins. And the pagans in the Roman world had a big cult of worshipping the sun god, and the revelries of Saturnalia, those who worshipped around the planet Saturn, was at its height. And Christians wanted to make a point that light had come into the darkness, and we didn't rely just on natural light or other gods. And so we choose this in the most miserable time, in the darkest winter, in many ways, to celebrate light coming into the world. The journey of Advent, you know, even the shepherds made a short but slippery and tricky journey down from the hills around Bethlehem to see the Saviour born in the town of David, the shepherd king. These outsiders, the working poor, were summoned to come and see. And once they'd seen, they returned to the fields where they worked, singing. It must have been a very gruff sort of song, but they returned singing. Christmas is a time for journeys. Some of you will not be able to go home to your families and friends. And I was with two people yesterday evening that were feeling just a little bit blue about not being with families and friends. But yet, in other parts of the world where they would rather be, people are meeting and praising God. Some have left, so the Duradolas are in the States at the moment. Yesterday, this time of journeying, we journeyed just about the same distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem when we went to Cambridgeshire to be with my brothers and their families yesterday. But we easily did it in the comfort of a car, there and back, in a day, with nothing to brave except the crazy drivers undertaking us. My last thought is this: the greatest journey ever taken was the journey that God the Son made from the presence of God's glory down to earth. For Jesus did not cling to his glory, the glory of Godhead, but by the Spirit of God he came and pitched his tent among us for approximately 33 years, only 3.5 of which were involved in public ministry. The others were in quiet work, family life and devotion and learning. The journey from glory to poverty and then the descent to the depths of hell was the beginning. The return journey of Jesus from hell to resurrection to ascension to fill the whole universe completed the journey. On his journey to the centre of the earth, he was usually alone, I think, in the solitude of his understanding. For a while, he enjoyed family life and friendship, and no doubt occasionally respite in temporary dwellings of his friends. He knew the Father God was with him for most of the journey. And on his journey of victory, he called and invited all of us to go with him. You and I have been invited on a journey. The ones of you I know have started that journey. He calls us out on a journey. He calls us out on a journey. He invites us also to a tough journey, but with a guaranteed outcome that we will receive the destination. He invites us to a journey, all of us, from spiritual poverty, which is what we are in as human beings, however much wealth adorns our homes. He invites us on a journey from spiritual poverty into glory. The journey starts with the summons from Jesus, which is follow me. And we have to decide whether we will answer that summons and will walk with him and his people in that great and glorious caravan to glory. I'm going. I hope that we'll walk it together in good and bad company alike because of the grace of the journey Jesus took. We'll stand to sing a song of praise, and then Liz will close the service.